further ado, items 6, 8, 9, please.
Adopt the Enhanced Transit Corridors Plan and endorse a list of enhanced transit candidate project locations for submittal to the Metro Regional Enhanced Transit Concept Pilot Program to help advance project development.
Colleagues, I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for bringing this item forward today. This represents an opportunity on how we improve transit corridors to prioritize transit and active transportation. Fundamentally, these projects can transform transit connection, particularly in East Portland. One thing I've heard consistently as mayor is that East Portland needs better transit service on 122nd, Outer Stark Street, 82nd, and Sandy. And I'm excited that these projects are identified as Tier 1 projects. So I'd like to thank Commissioner Saltzman, and I'd like to pass this to him right now.
Okay, well, thank you, Mayor. I'm pleased to introduce this item on the Enhanced Transit Corridor Plan. The Enhanced Transit Corridor Plan is an important step in the city's efforts to help make transit better in our city and to increase transit ridership. We need transit to be quicker, more reliable, and more frequent. The recommendations of this plan will improve the experience for current riders and make transit a more attractive and competitive option for new riders. We've already received many emails and letters in support of the Enhanced Transit Corridor Plan prior to this hearing. I want to acknowledge a letter received this weekend from the Portland Bus Lane Project urging us to implement bus lanes quickly, or probably more quickly. I will work hard to see that PBOT has the resources to do the studies and outreach needed, but right size to quickly deliver projects that improve transit performance. I want to express my support for adopting the Enhanced Transit Corridor Plan and endorsing the list of enhanced transit candidate project locations for submittal to Metro's Metro Regional Enhanced Transit Corridor Pilot Program. As the mayor said, unfortunately, I do have to leave at 2:30, so I will not be able to stay here for the vote on this item, but I trust my colleagues will deliver on this. So with that, I'll turn it over to Art Pierce.
Sure. All right. Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. My name is Art Pierce. I'm the Policy Planning and Projects Manager for the Bureau of Transportation, and really am pleased to help introduce this item today. This is an item that I personally have worked on for a number of years, so I'm really pleased to see this come together to this this moment here today. So today, what we have for you today is a recommendation to adopt the plan itself, and also the specific list of projects we want to forward on to the regional conversation for enhanced transit corridors. And so we'll be bringing you more information as we go through the presentation on those two items. One of the realizations that really has come to me and to our staff, and I think now at the regional table, is realizing that transit and the degree to which you can navigate the city through transit does face a real crisis in terms of the opportunity that it provides. The more that transit is hampered by congestion and other things, the harder it is for us to navigate the city and navigate the city freely, and particularly, I think, for youth and elders and people with disabilities, this is of critical importance for us and for Portland to take action on. Through our transportation system plan, we have really clearly articulated that single occupancy vehicles is the least efficient way to move people throughout the city, and that we need to prioritize, well, people first, people walking, but then prioritize transit mobility as well as cycling and walking. And we really need to bring that level of intentionality to all of the work we do here at the Bureau, and bringing transit more strongly into the fore is really the purpose of this conversation today, that this is really an important modal need that we have to really emphasize. Some evidence behind this, over the last 15 years, we have seen a pretty rapid increase in cycling usage from 2% to 7%. But over that same time frame, our transit ridership, and particularly bus transit ridership, has essentially stayed the same. And so when you think about how the tools we might deploy to answering continued growth and continued influx of new of people, we need transit to be a competitive option that works well for our citizens. You look at some of our really most critical bus lines, line 75 or 72 or the line 4, And you start seeing how, over time, bus speeds are declining. We are losing ground with each passing year in terms of how competitive our transit service is able to be. And what's really, I think, important for us to acknowledge and for the city to acknowledge is that this is really something that is in our hands, the city's hands, to resolve. The TriMet can do their piece of adding more buses to the line, but if we are not prioritizing right-of-way to get the transit through on the streets, we're not doing adequate service to the intention there. One way that we have been looking at this is about the reach you might be able to accomplish as a transit rider from a specific location. So in this specific instance, we're looking at 82nd Avenue and Foster. How far can you get in Portland within Portland in 45 minutes? And you'll notice that the area in red is the area that is essentially shrinking between 2009 and now. So it's not a radical shrink net yet, but it's moving slowly to less and less of a mobility that you might be offered by the transit system in that time period. And we really see that as a reduction in sort of world offerings, life choices that might be accomplished there. So you look at, from these different locations, this means less access to specific job opportunities, less access to specific residential opportunities based on the mobility you would have for that 45-minute time period. And so why is this happening? There's a couple of sort of key messages. One of the main ones is traffic congestion. The use of our roadways is increasingly becoming congested and demanded by many, many uses, and we are not prioritizing the use of the buses enough through the system. The other is the degree to which we're updating the operations of the system in terms of how the stops are organized and also the dwell time, allowing buses to stop in the lane rather than pulling over, that the buses are losing time with each of those successive steps. One of the interesting realizations is this is not just a Portland problem. This is actually a regional dilemma. You'll see that there's red on this map in terms of areas where transit is most delayed that is happening throughout the region. So this is something that is occurring certainly in an acute manner when you look at inner Portland, but it is something that's happening in East Portland and in Washington County, so in many different areas.
Awesome. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sure. That's fine.
But I've got this thing in my head that's stopping me from listening to the rest
of
the presentation.
Let's keep going. Yeah.
If the percentage of the mode share has stayed the same at 13%,
right,
but we've got more people, that means actually more people are riding buses.
More people are riding buses, but as a percentage, you're right, they are not increasing. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So pretty much all the buses I ride are always jam-packed full.
Right.
So I'm struggling to understand why the speeds are a problem, when it may be that people just don't like standing up on the bus.
Right. And this is part of the importance and why we have some special guests, including Doug Kelsey, coming today to talk about the partnership that is, as we bring greater intentionality to how we're providing the system, TriMet is bringing additional bus service and additional buses to try to lift the whole system up. So it is a paired effort for sure.
So yeah. You're not saying that the number of bus riders is down. In fact, it's up.
The number of bus riders has increased over that period. The share of their ridership has stayed stagnant.
Great. So, in
terms of how we're thinking about where new growth is going, transit has not been able to capture as much of that new growth as we believe they should be capable of.
Thank you. I could concentrate
now. Yeah, sure. Good. I'm glad I was able to answer your question. And so, as I said, this is a regional effort. This is one that definitely Portland advocated very hard, and I thank Commissioner Saltzman for his work at the JPAC table in advocating to add $5 million as a regional pilot program and bring that together. And so we have support from throughout the region and from TriMet and other partner agencies to take this intentionality to a regional level and really look at how this service can be improved. One of the reasons why that's very important is, of course, these lines, many of them traverse jurisdictional boundaries. And so as a rider, it is less important to you whether you just came from Gresham to Portland. It's more important that the line is being improved. And so we really do need this to be a regional scale conversation to really get it right. We have some great examples of some peer cities, not to spur the competition of West Coast cities, but we have some great examples of our neighbor cities, Seattle, San Francisco, Vancouver, BC, that are very aggressively using paint on the roads and a number of other tools to really bring transit priority to the fore. And so this is the type of examples as we're visiting these other cities that we really think we need to bring these tools to Portland. We really believe that apart from the transit mall, Portland has really not brought the level of intentionality that we need to in terms of specifically for buses and giving buses the space they need. And I think it's, again, very, very important. We had an interesting dialogue about a year ago when we brought this concept to council, where it was really raising the question again for us, you know, who gets to decide if we produce a bus priority lane? And the answer, of course, is that this is the city does. So as much as TriMet would like us to, or would like to themselves to make the choice about the road, the way we have set up our governance structure here, this is a Portland-based decision that does it, we need to do in concert with TriMet. So it's very, very important for Portland to start seeing itself as a transit provider beyond just the streetcar and the tram system that we have so far. So before we move on to that, we have some invited guests that I want to be very respectful of their time. So I think we're going to invite them up to join the conversation. And then after they speak, April Bertelson will come up and give more details on what the specifics of the plan. So I'd like to invite up Doug Kelsey, Ian Cannon, Chris Smith, if he is arrived. There he is. And I'm not sure who our BPS representative is. There he is. Eric, I'll hop out of the way.
Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Doug Kelsey, Mayor, Council Members. I'm the General Manager at TriMet. I'm proud to be here to share with you TriMet's strong support here today for this great idea from Commissioner Saltzman about the city's Enhanced Transit Corridors Plan. Thank you for your leadership. It's very important and in a really important time. We do appreciate all the hard work that's kicked off in what has become a regional movement. It's taken a couple of years to advance the concept to this stage, and I also would particularly like to thank our collective staffs. It takes a lot of time and effort to put these things together, so I'd like to thank them. We're very supportive and excited for the city's enhanced transit concepts, the candidate project submittal to Metro. We're looking forward to this important partnership, and we do believe it does take a partnership. TriMet supports allocating HB 2017 funding for transit towards capital projects to help fund and build enhanced transit projects, as well as enhancing transit safety and access to transit improvements, while still recognizing the role of HB 2017's Transit Advisory Committee, the TriMet Board of Directors, and the Oregon Transportation Commission, who all are required to support and approve. TriMet intends to develop a new type of service that we'll refer to perhaps as the Frequent Service Plus, with more frequency and more capacity. This type of service is best suited for corridors with what we refer to as ETC treatments, including things like queue jumper lanes, transit signal priority, and yes, even HOV lanes, or high occupancy vehicle lanes. We'll target lines with high ridership, high equity benefit, and also where local jurisdictions help make improvements to increase transit reliability and reduce travel time for our collective customers. It's vital that the region reduce customer travel times. To do this, we need to reduce what I'll refer to as points of friction to keep our customers moving. TriMet is committed to working with the city on critical transit performance issues and establishing an ongoing partnership that is mutually beneficial and advances our common goals for transit. This will include regular updates on travel, transit travel times and ridership so we can quickly and collectively diagnose issues with the system and also, most importantly, implement the adjustments and needed solutions to keep our riders moving. Yes, we need to be faster, and we need to do it together. Transit needs to share in the importance with cycling and walking with the city. Both are great contributors to a healthy and competitive city and region. I believe it's a very exciting time here, and we applaud the ETC vision and efforts to date. This program is timely and important, and we want to work with the city to implement these projects quickly. We need to be bold. The speed of implementation is important, as this is key as the population continues to ground all of us. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you going to be staying?
For a little bit. I have another commitment I'm booked at, but I will stay for a few minutes after.
Well, after the other two panelists have spoken, I have some questions and comments.
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm Ian Cannon. I'm the transportation director and county engineer from Multnomah County. Multnomah County is pleased to partner with the city and other agencies on this regional enhanced transit corridors plan to improve transit reliability and efficiency. There are projects identified on both the Hawthorne and Burnside bridges. We feel that the projects support transit reliability and service to traditionally underserved communities, sustainable mobility, enhanced safety for cyclists and pedestrians, and travel by modes other than single occupancy motor vehicles on our congested roadway system. And so we're happy to support this project.
Thank you. And Ian, it's good to see you again.
Nice to see you,
Mayor Wheeler. The work you do.
Good afternoon. Chris Smith, Vice Chair of the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission, here today presenting the Commission's recommendation. We're enthusiastically supportive of this package. We have been pushing through the entire comp plan process for better service for East Portland and for transit in general. Happy to see the city and TriMet responding. To Commissioner Fritz's point about absolute ridership versus the mode share, I'll just remind you that our newly adopted comp plan, or newly effective comp plan, I should say, sets the target by 2035 of 25% transit mode share. So if we're just hanging in there at 12 or 13%, we're not going to get there. So it's vital that we adopt measures like this that respond to our strategy for people movement in the TSP, which says that we have to give transit priority over single occupancy vehicles. We're just not going to get there any other way. This is an important first step. I do want to add a couple of caveats around equity that the PSC wanted to express. The first is just in general that as we're assessing the projects, we make sure that East Portland continues to get extra focus. The other is just to make sure in the big picture of how we're allocating the resources, we had a very stringent prioritization process for the TSP project list. We'd like to make sure that as amendments are made to the TSP, as these projects advance, that that same overall priority scheme is assessed and adhered to so that we're doing the same balancing that we set forth in the comp plan. Sometimes the shiny new project can bolt to the top, and we just want to make sure you keep it all in context and balance all the equity objectives. Thank you. I urge your support for this.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioner Fritz.
I'm not challenging the assumption, Commissioner Smith, that we need to increase the mode share. I'm challenging the assumption in this document that doing so means speeding up the service. And I'm wondering what kind of polling was done to reach the conclusions that are in this recommendation that it's speeding it up. So maybe that's a question for staff. Yeah. But particularly for TriMet, we have had an extended discussion on the division rapid bus service, and East Portland East Portland Action Plan withdrew support because of not having enough stops to get people to it. So this document says that transit is the optimal mode for trips that are more than 3 miles long. For shorter trips, most people can go faster by bike and sometimes even by walking. Well, I just having the assumption that one has to walk 3 miles to get to a rapid bus doesn't seem reasonable to me. So I'm wondering, what is TriMet doing to increase the frequency of the buses?
Well, this is part of frequency. Unlocking the network allows more buses to turn and move quicker. So part of HB 17's funding, plus the employer payroll tax combined, plus some of our own internal growth, combines for, you'll see the over the next number of years, we anticipate growing the bus fleet and thus services from approximately 600 buses. It goes up and down as buses retire, but directionally 600 buses to over 900 buses. So you're going to see, as part of HB 17, more buses, more frequency. We'll be looking at hours of service, even extending hours of service, and where, based on the allowed funding, can we remove the barriers to when those buses themselves are running, so that whether they sit or they run, the cost is the same. The fixed cost is the same. The variable cost can move based on miles traveled. So we want to make those assets work hard, and the more you can turn the buses, the more volume you can compare, the more, it's like an airline industry, the more seats you can reuse and free up the network.
Yeah, but there are going to be more buses on the streets.
Oh, no question.
Okay.
Literally, we're going to grow by 40-50% here in the next number of years.
Great.
And number of buses which get to all of those things, in addition to adding amenities, not just the bus hours and service, to support people wanting to use the service.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, follow-up. 30-40% over what number of years?
It'll be about approximately 8 years.
Very good.
And
thank you.
We haven't completed the HB 2017 consulting around how fast do people want to go. What does the trajectory of electric buses do? Because there's the cost between existing diesel bus and electrification. That's a premium right now until the marketplace matches itself through technology advancement. So that will come out of the total pool of the net choices of moving to a sustainable bus fleet.
Great. And have you developed a strategic plan in terms of how you're going to prioritize the deployment of those new buses?
Yeah, we are in the process of developing that right now, and that's part of the outreach consultation we're doing with the HB 2017 Advisory Committee, plus my own personal community forums that we've been doing as we formulate that plan, which we plan to bring back to the TriMet Board through the Advisory Committee and ultimately submit to the OTC or Oregon Transit Commission this fall.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mayor.
Commissioner Daly.
Yeah. I just want to raise an issue that I'm concerned with, and that is the impact of gentrification and displacement in areas where we have really excellent mass transit service. And, you know, part of the issue on our roads right now are workers that have been forced out to the edges of the city or outside of the city altogether, who there's simply not enough time in the day for them to take public transportation in and out of the central city. So I just hope that we can address that issue as well as we move forward, because it's my feeling or my hunch that part of why we're not seeing that overall percentage go up is because of this phenomenon.
Commissioner Udaly, if I may, PSC, of course, is in the middle of residential infill right now. And I think it's one of the goals we have discussed is that those additional units we're able to create in our neighborhoods may hopefully be populated by people who would be transit users as opposed to bringing a car with them.
Agreed. And it's part of my concern of leaving East Portland out of RIP is that we need to achieve greater density in East Portland to support more mass transit. So many moving parts.
Yeah, you're quite right, Commissioner. There are many moving parts here. And part of what we also need to look at is also north-south travel, east-west travel, not just travel in and out of a central business district. I think the world is changing, travel patterns are changing, and that's part of unlocking not only the frequency through the enhanced transit corridors, but we need to address those other elements as well, which liberate people to be able to move around the city in faster times, not slower times, which chew up into their livability.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Eric Engstrom. I'm with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I think I'm the final invited person to speak. I'm here representing Director Anderson, who couldn't make it this afternoon. As was mentioned earlier, a few weeks ago, the city's new comprehensive plan took effect, along as well as your final vote on the accompanying transportation system plan. The 2035 plan emphasizes developing complete neighborhoods and organizing growth in centers and corridors that are well served by transit. So transit is key to achieving our goals, particularly goals related to access, mobility, and climate impact. The share of trips by transit, as Commissioner Smith also mentions, needs to more or less double from what it is today, increasing to 25% by 2035. And not only do we need to be investing in the continued build-out of the more capital-intensive aspects of transit, like the light rail system, but taking these tactical approaches to our existing bus lines to keep them moving. That's a key element of being able to get us to that goal. And literally without the approaches in the ETC, there's a risk that transit will be stuck in traffic in 2035, and that kind of unravels all these other goals. To Commissioner Udaly's comment about the relationship to housing, I think the Bureau would absolutely agree that we need to be treating, as we work on transit planning, we need to be treating housing infrastructure as an accompanying infrastructure that goes with that, and that it will not work otherwise.
So I have a question, Eric, for you and Art. I'm interested in the resolution where you call out three of the comprehensive plan goals and policies. The ones that are in here are 9.22 public transportation, 9.24 transit service, and 9.25 transit equity. Why did you not call out 9.23 transportation to job centers, which speaks to Commissioner Udaly's concern, policy 9.26, which is about transit funding, including looking at decreasing fees and fares, or policy 9.27, transit service to centers and corridors?
I guess I was not involved with writing the resolution, so I'd have to defer to PBOT, but I think those policies are also supportive of this.
Yeah, so as a planner, and I know that you are too, these are intended all to work together. They're not one, some are more important than others. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
So that's a fair comment. I think April, who prepared the resolution, I'm sure really is supportive of all of those policy intentions, as she was picking ones she thought were maybe most salient. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. So I'll turn it over to April, who can talk more about what's specifically in the plan and the recommendations for the regional, and then we can have ability to answer additional questions. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So since we were here last year, I believe it was July 13th, that we had a midpoint presentation to you around enhanced transit, I thought it would be good to have a little refresher. What is enhanced transit? And we are defining it as improvements that help to increase the capacity, reliability, and transit travel speed through moderate capital and operational investments that are flexible and context-sensitive and can be deployed relatively quickly, and that it can include bus or streetcar, and that these could come in various shapes and sizes, the projects themselves. It could be a series of hotspots or network improvements throughout the network of bus and streetcar lines, or it could be a series of improvements along a corridor that serves one or multiple bus lines, or it could be a full line improvement. So we really want to work from the ground up of understanding where the delay is and the problems are, and then shape projects based on the opportunity for funding or where the needs are most, and then scale and right-size a project. But our key mantra is capacity, reliability, and quicker buses. We developed a capital and operational toolbox of enhanced transit treatments, about 20 tools in there that could be applied on the street and to transit fleet to help make those improvements, and it is included by reference as an appendix to the recommended plan. Just to highlight a few of the tools in our toolbox, I have a few slides here. One is a dedicated bus lane, and this I would say is a premier treatment where a bus has exclusive use, or any transit has exclusive use of the lane. Our primary example of that is the Transit Mall on 5th and 6th Avenue, and there are small spots elsewhere in the city where we have some dedicated bus lanes, such as in Southeast between Almsy and Milwaukee, Southeast Milwaukee Bolt Avenue. In addition, there are business access and transit lanes, another example where it is a shared space with buses having priority to go through, but other vehicles are allowed to use that lane to access adjacent properties or make right turns, but they couldn't continue through. So a blend, but still providing transit priority.
I just like to say, well, you just put it on, having the coloration would really make a difference. I mean, my office looks out onto the transit mall, and it's really sad how many people don't understand mm-hmm. or just don't get cued as to which lane they're supposed to be in. So I like that a lot.
I agree. And there's many of us who are interested in seeing deploying red treatment in lanes in Portland. I would highlight that it is currently an experimental treatment, and there's a federal study underway now to evaluate that treatment, and some cities have applied to request to experiment and apply the red treatment. So Seattle is an example of that. We are, one of the action items in our plan is to recommend applying to participate in that study or start using it once it's approved, if that happens sooner.
Right.
So we're working with Metro and TriMet to coordinate on an effort to start that application process.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Another tool is a ProTime transit lane. We'll talk about those a bit. We actually have one on the street, or a couple on the street. Here is a picture of Southeast Madison approaching the Hawthorne Bridge, where it is parking except for during the a.m. peak hours, where it becomes a bus lane, enabling it to pass by the queue of traffic. Additionally, there could be queue jumps, so some tools could be used just to really focus on congested intersections at points. Any other questions about the tools and what is enhanced transit before I move on? Okay. So then I want to highlight some of the recommendations from the plan. We really have a three-pronged implementation strategy that was to develop a 20-year regional transit vision with a strong enhanced transit component and nimble implementation, as well as to adopt policies and actions to better support transit, and then strengthen an ongoing monitoring of the frequent lines and transit performance. One, to understand where new problems may arise, but also to track our success and as we make improvements to the system. So our new vision includes really three elements to the approach. We have been largely focusing on high-capacity transit as well as growing transit, and now we want to really elevate enhanced transit. But this will continue to be a three-prong strategy that we will be working on all three of these fronts. Growing transit is really focused on the areas where there's new lines proposed or recently opened, such as on 162nd Avenue, as well as lines that are less than frequent today but plan for frequent service. And what can we do to make sure that we're removing barriers in the transportation system to make it safer and easier to access the transit as TriMet then also increases frequency on those lines to get to frequent. And then enhanced transit is more that focus on the already frequent lines or planned frequent and focusing on that reliability and speed. And then high capacity being, of course, the largest carrying vehicles and going the longest distance and the most greatest amount of exclusive right of way. We see all of these investments working in a virtuous upward spiral, and that we may even do them together, both growing transit and improving access and safety, as well as addressing transit reliability and speed. And depending on where a particular spot or line, what the needs are, we want to tailor our solutions, our diagnosis solutions, to the right mix of those. So some may have more of an emphasis on the reliability side, some may have more emphasis on the access and safety side. But we'll be working on both. Just reinforcing, our enhanced transit corridors are building primarily on the existing and planned frequent service network, but there are other needs in the system we also will address. Through this planning process, we've identified an initial network of enhanced transit corridors through an evaluation process using criteria to identify where is it most needed now and the most potential. We use criteria including equity, future growth, and transit ridership today, as well as understanding transit performance, so where is transit being slowed down, and scored on each of those criteria, and this is the total. We then use this to help us prioritize which projects are needed sooner for recommending to be added to the regional transportation plan, as well as the transportation system plan in future updates. we then incorporated this enhanced transit network into a broader vision for transit, and this is what we're sharing as our new vision for transit in Portland that includes growing transit, enhanced transit, and high-capacity transit improvements, and this is coordinated with TriMet as well. And other things to highlight, it does include the need for addressing transit on Powell Boulevard through a future refinement plan, as well as addressing some key bottlenecks, particularly through the central city, with hopefully a future regional connector. We then took those projects that form the vision and have recommended time frames for inclusion in the regional transportation plan. The ultimate time frames for how these may be integrated into the transportation system plan may indeed rely upon that process for updating the TSP and the criteria that Chris Smith references and in terms of TSP prioritization. Then the other element is policies and actions to better support transit, and so I'll highlight a few things from our recommendations chapter, but there are certainly more. One, the focus on longer trips, particularly transit trips, as being the preferred mode for trips over 3 miles. This is not to say that people will also take transit that are less than 3 miles, absolutely, indeed. We know that to be the case. But the focus on having the longer trips is how can we make transit more competitive with the automobile or driving so that it becomes a reasonable and logical choice and more competitive. In addition, it's thinking of, as we understand, people are living further from their jobs and the current affordability crises that we are in, that some people are taking longer trips than they were, and that there's an equity component to making sure that they can get to, make those longer trips in a quicker time frame.
The challenge with that, April, is mm-hmm. that you've got to get to the longer trip. And so if we focus on the longer trips without concurrently the connector rides, mm-hmm. people are still not going to get to the longer trip because you're not going to walk 3 miles to get to it.
I think to be very clear, this isn't emphasizing that someone would walk that far to access transit. This is making sure that for a longer trip it is competitive. We're making it fast enough. So, coverage-wise, someone would still be walking a half mile or less in terms of our target for transit network coverage.
Well, it's unfortunate that both the numbers are 3 miles because both are in your report.
Right.
But the challenge is that many people might not be able to find housing that's on the direct line. So they're probably they may well be connecting to it. And so there has to be fast, convenient, there has to be convenient access to it. So that, and so I'm just concerned about only focusing on the longer trips without recognizing that many people are going to be changing buses.
I completely agree, we should unpack this more, indeed. We know that people are transferring as well, and so as Doug Kelsey was also referencing, they're going to be increasing service. They know the need for north-south improving service, and the more frequent we can get both on those frequent service lines as well as the other connector lines, the quicker people can make those transfers and the more reliable we can make these trips where there's lines that are having delays, people can better make those transfers and not miss their transfer point. So we think that overall, by increasing the frequency across that whole network of transit lines, that we will improve people's overall access. Now, on the walking trip, if there may be spots where there's less stops, but they're likely only walking a couple blocks at most, more in those circumstances. But we're hoping to build out a grid of bus lines that provide overall access to more places.
And was there any polling done to find out what bus riders actually wanted?
Yes. I can speak to through the Division Transit Project. There certainly were surveys and bus rider outreach directly to the bus riders on the lines. But TriMet also conducts broader surveys. And through that, having buses that were faster and more reliable did score high in the responses. And we can invite someone from TriMet if we want to hear more robustly about that. But I mean, a very clear message of that.
Yeah, transit is my preferred mode, which is why I'm weighing in a lot here, because I feel like I actually know about this. From a rider's perspective, I know what entices me to use my car versus riding if on weekends the bus just doesn't go often enough or late enough, those kinds of things. And for all, you know, having ridden transit for the last 10 years to and from work, no outreach has ever been done on the bus or elsewhere. Would you like to take a survey? You know, I've got the annual pass. Nobody's ever asked me if I'd like to take a survey. So it just seems like there could be more data gathering as we move forward so that we're not making assumptions like I think we did in division, that people would be willing to walk those extra two blocks, whereas in fact, when it push came to shove, the community said, no, I would prefer to be able to get on closer to where getting out of my shelter.
And I guess the one thing that we have heard through multiple processes is that for an individual, kind of wherever you live, you're making choices based on what's most efficient for you and what's the fastest choice at that time. And so part of the intention of laying this out this way is being really clear that unless we make transit competitive with driving, someone's going to choose to drive. You know, if it takes 20 minutes to drive and it takes an hour to take transit, your choice is very clear. And so the priority for making transit a fast and efficient choice is trying to really appeal to people's daily choices about how they might navigate the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would be happy to follow up, too, with more about some of the survey findings, if that could help inform it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So moving on to the other points here, we also are making the case that we need to make space and time for transit in the right-of-way and prioritizing that for better transit performance. And so that would mean reallocating space from other things, such as on-street parking or motor vehicle capacity. But that is indeed a part of the recommendations. We also are looking to integrate enhanced transit tools and treatments into our design guides, our capital projects, and our development review requirements, our performance measures. This is really about changing the way we do business and that acknowledging that transit performance is a part of something that we do and how can we integrate that into our business practices and transportation projects. That it's not just a standalone project over here where we do enhanced transit, but it's a part of the way we do business. We are also recommending more future funding to help support enhanced transit and several points around forging a deeper partnership with TriMet.
So could we possibly expand D? Because we do have policy 9.26 about transit funding that says consider funding strategies and partnership opportunities that improve access to and equity in transit service, such as raising metro-wide funding to improve service and decrease user fees and fares. What we found with Youth Pass is that when you don't have the barrier of however much it costs to buy the ticket, lo and behold, people ride transit more. The young people told us they did, and their surveys showed that they did. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is, so along with not wanting to stand up for a 3-mile trip or a 5-mile trip or whatever, there's also the issue of can I afford that, which although, you know, studies show that it's actually more expensive to own a vehicle. Mm-hmm. In the moment, if your gas tank happens to be full and you don't have $5 to put in the fare slot, it's, again, maybe more likely that you're going to get your car out rather than taking a bus ride. So I do think that that's part of and has to be part. And I realize that this is just one aspect to the whole how are we going to support transit. I just, every time you bring it here, I'm going to probably say the same things over and over again because I do think that there's multiple ways that we need to do, even as we're doing, you know, looking at enhanced transit.
To make it more affordable for riders.
Yeah.
Understood.
Thank
yes.
You.
And I would give a shout out to our regional transit strategy. That is a part of the vision at the regional level, is including making transit more affordable.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And our third prong strategy is ongoing monitoring of transit performance. And so we have developed a framework and recommendations for how to launch our ongoing program for monitoring transit, looking at the frequent service network and streetcar lines, and looking for how establishing thresholds and performance measures and having that guide future improvements and how we partner with TriMet. In concept, the idea is that we want to monitor lines and intercept them as we see decline in their speed and reliability, and have the thresholds in place for that will be triggers for us to talk and take action, and then continue to make those improvements and continue to evaluate how they perform. I'll highlight one of our performance measures that will be our first tier performance, and that's transit peak delay, which is how much transit and all the people on it slows during the peak congested time of the day, and establishing some thresholds that will be those triggers for us to take a closer look, and calling those out that if we have over 75% delay variation between the peak and the off-peak, that those are urgent priorities to take action. If it's 50 to 75, that's also where we want to be taking action. If it's below 50, we're saying that could be acceptable, and that there's going to be delay during congested times, but that we may take a closer look if there is some other cause for concern. But really, to summarize, if it takes over 50% longer to take a trip during the peak, we're saying that we should intervene and try to do something. And then I wanted to shift over to the how. We have already begun implementation, but we're starting to think through a framework. And we want to acknowledge that doing this is challenging. It's going to come with trade-offs. But we have some policy to guide us. The Transportation Strategy for People Movement provides policy support for prioritizing transit over single-occupant vehicles, and our ETC plan provides tools for where and how to achieve that. The plan really starts by showing us where the need is the greatest, where we most need to get started. So this policy can help guide us as we start to evaluate the benefits, impacts, and make trade-offs. We know that we'll need to reallocate space and time in the street in a manner that is guided by policy. So in addition to the transportation system plan, we also have our Vision Zero and Complete Streets policies to consider. We want to be informed by data and grounded in that and sensitive to context and consider efficient use of the space so it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
April, could I ask you to go back to the triangle?
Yes.
Where do people using wheelchairs fit into that triangle? I'm assuming it's walking?
Yes, walking.
Okay.
Thank you.
There are a variety of ways through once we have identified projects through which we can start to deliver them, and whether those are the ones we've already identified or ones we identify in the future. We have a transit spot and transit priority spot improvement program that is one of our 10 transportation system plan program areas. We are already implementing projects through that, and we will continue to do so. And in addition, some projects may be delivered as standalone major capital improvements that are delivered by the city, or they could be in partnership with Metro or TriMet. On the far end, there may be some projects that come out of this process eventually that warrant federal funding, similar to, say, the Division Transit project. But we're really looking at that whole spectrum of how can we implement projects and be agile as well as make larger moves. We're also looking for opportunities to integrate, as I said earlier. How do we can integrate this into the projects we already have going or projects coming up? I wanted to share some examples of some early implementation, highlighting from our spot improvement program. We have made an improvement along the Line 12 on Northeast Sandy inbound from 74th to 72nd, approaching the signal there, where there's parking. We added parking restrictions and allowed the bus to use the right turn to get around the queue and to go through the intersection. Similar treatment on the Line 14 on Southeast 50th approaching Powell, where we had some parking removal to allow the bus to get around the queue and use the right turn. On Morrison, where we already have a pro time lane, we've enhanced that to also include a protected bike lane, and we will continue to look at ways to improve that. On Burnside, during construction, we initiated a business access and transit and queue jump lane for the buses to get around the traffic approaching the bridge, and we are planning to leave this improvement in place and, again, looking for opportunities to provide additional transit priority. Coming soon this year, in 2018, we have a project working with Streetcar, which will benefit Streetcar and the Bus Line 6. It's a business access and transit lane on Grand, approaching Burnside, and then to Northeast Everett, the I-84 on-ramp. And this will help the transit get through the congestion there. And then another way in which we want to advance implementation, we're very excited to participate in the regional ETC pilot program led by Metro and their team. We see this as an opportunity for us to take some of these locations where we know there is need from a fat line and concept level to further evaluate and develop projects and identify promising projects where we can then take to full design and construct. We want to identify projects we can construct within 2 years and fund those, as well as develop a pipeline of projects that we could seek future funding for. This will help us put a sharper pencil to those. Skip on that. So this is highlighting the locations that we are submitting to Metro for consideration outside the central city and inside there. And those are Exhibit B attached to the resolution.
Could I stop you for a minute?
Yeah.
Legal counsel, do I need to take a recess while Commissioner Daly's out
yes.
of the room? Let's just take a two-minute breather, why don't we?
Mm-hmm. I'll back up and can study the exhibits.
Folks who are going to testify, I believe we have quite a few people testifying. We have a very full agenda this afternoon, so think 2.5 minutes in terms of testimony time.
And I will highlight that these are my last couple slides, so we're near the end of the presentation.
Great, thank you.